Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening. This is Pastor Brooks. Pardon me for technical difficulties. I had previously been set up earlier for tonight, but then again, a technical difficulties got me. I'm still having some problems here. Okay, I'm put everyone on mute for right now. Still having some problems, but thank God for this new year, 2019. And thank God for being able to come together tonight for Bible study. The Lord has been good to us. We've gone through our storms. We've gone through our trials. We've gone through our situations. But as someone said, still have joy. And the scripture lets us know to count it all joy, even though even the trials that we go through, because they are really just small trials. They seem big to us, everybody's problem. When it's your problem, it is big to you. But when we look at and compare it to the providence of God, whatever problem we have, God is able to bring us through, and God is able to help us to resolve every situation and deal with it, bear it, and come through victorious. want to ask that you all be praying for Brother Larry Barnes, Sister Twyla Bryant, Missionary Mary Cooper, Bishop Adrian Rogers. You know, he and his family, they lost his wife. I ask that you be praying for some cousins of mine, Rosemary, Sydney, and Sam Wyatt. They lost their mother on today as well. And so things are piling up on us, so it seems. But one of the great things about being a child of God, that whatever we go through, the Lord will bring us out. Not on my normal mic. wasn't able to get not on my normal mic and sound like things have gotten out of hand again. Let me check. Praise God. Sister Cooper, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you've been hearing everything?
Yes, sir.
Okay, God bless you. I have a problem here not hearing as I normally would. Thank you. Again, let's continue to pray for one another and pray that God would bless us through our situations, and that the Lord would bless us and give us increase in this year and bless us in a mighty and powerful way. All right, let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another opportunity that you've given us to come and to worship you and to study your word. We thank you for healing. We thank you for strength. We thank you for the promises that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we ask that you look upon those names who have been mentioned for prayer. We pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. We pray for strength. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch us all tonight. Bless us right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would give healing. I pray that you would deliver us. I pray that you would bless us in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. God bless you. Get your Bibles tonight and turn to Proverbs, the 9th chapter. Proverbs, the 9th chapter. We're going to look at this for a short while. And dealing with wisdom. And the way of wisdom. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And I'm going to start at verse 6. It says, "Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. So here in Proverbs, the 9th chapter, it talks about wisdom, the way of wisdom. And it tells us that one of the things that it's a child of God to do in order to really live, an individual must learn to forsake foolishness. We're dealing with the topic of foolishness. There are many things that are implied about foolishness. One of the chief things about foolishness is an individual not believing in God, an individual not being fearful of God, an individual not reverencing God. And so when you And this is where all really foolish behavior emanates and begins, is because we don't have a reverence for God. We don't believe God. We don't believe in God. The scripture says that in the Psalms that the fool have said in his heart that there is no God. And the scripture calls this foolish thinking, when you're able to look outside and see all of creation and see the beauty of nature and see how everything holds together and functions properly, and then turn around and say, just all of this just happened. It just an explosion happened, a bang happened, and everything was hurled into space, and it got in its right orbit, and it stayed there with no help from God. And so that's foolish thinking, thinking that there is no God. And so with the beginning of this and thinking that there is no God, acting as if there is no God, living as if there is no God, this is foolishness. And when you get into a foolish mind state and get into a foolish spirit, it is difficult for you to really access life the way God would have you to, because you don't believe what the scripture is saying to you. You don't believe that what the scripture is saying is necessary, and you begin to choose life and live life the way you want to live it rather than the way God has intended for man to live. And so foolishness causes a shortage of life. It causes life to be cut short. And life can be cut short physically. Life can be cut short spiritually. And then there's that ultimate death, spiritual death, that we don't want anyone to suffer. And this is why we continue to witness. This is why we continue to preach God's word. This is why we continue to share with people, because we don't want to see anyone lost and not be with God throughout eternity. So you're dealing with foolishness. You're dealing with a mindset that says that there is no God. And that's why the scripture said the fool have said in his heart, most people will not say with their mouth that there is no God. But just because we don't confess it with our mouth, sometimes our action and our life will confess what we don't want to say with our mouth. We won't say it with our mouth because it sounds bad, and maybe we're superstitious and wondering, well, there may be a God, I just don't know, and so I'm not going to say it out loud. But the thing about the God that we serve, this Creator, He sees everything. He knows our hearts. It's nothing that we can hide from Him. He knows our inner thoughts. He knows what we're thinking. And so whether we admit it, whether we say it with our mouth or not, God knows what's in our heart. And oftentimes, you know, you hear people say, well, God knows my heart. Yes, that's true, but we really don't understand the depth of that statement. A lot of times we use that as an excuse for not doing what we know that we should be doing or what we need to be doing. And so we say, God knows my heart. In other words, we're trying to say that I intended to do it, I wanted to do it, but there were things that prevented me from doing what was supposed to be done, but God knows my heart. And that's a true state, true saying. God does know our hearts. And so God actually knows why you did not want to do what needed to be done. It wasn't because you couldn't. God knows it was because most of the time we just choose not to do it. So here we are in Proverbs, the 9th chapter. Let's look at verse 7 through 9. Now, it seems strange at first glance what Solomon is saying here. He said, I'm reading from the New King James Version. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. So what's a scoffer? There's scoffer individuals that don't believe the word of God, don't believe in God, try to tell them what the scripture says. They laugh at it. They don't want to accept it. They make fun of it. You try to impart wisdom to them or give them some knowledge about the word of God. They don't want to hear it. They don't believe that it's true. They don't believe it's real. They'll come with excuses. Man wrote the Bible. so and so, whatever you try to share with them, they continue to scoff and to scorn. And so scriptures say, he that corrects a scoffer, he that reproveth the scoffer gets shame for himself. Because you're dealing with somebody and you're trying to correct them, an individual that doesn't want to be corrected, an individual that thinks that he's right, you sometimes you are sincere in trying to show a person a way, the way of God, the way of righteousness, the way of holiness. But this, it's you're dealing with scoffers, and in your sincerity, you wake up and realize you really have wasted your time, and that you were dealing with a person who did not want to believe. But because of our sincerity and our love for people, our love for God and God's word, sometimes we don't see this when we're dealing with people and witnessing to people, and we try to persuade even the hard-hearted people. We try to persuade the reprobates. We try to persuade people who just whose minds are just totally against God. And a lot of times we spend too much time, well, wasting too much time with these people and don't realize it. So he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. So rebuking means that you are you're chastising, you're trying to bring forth correction, you're trying to change a situation. And if you rebuke a wicked man, the scripture says, you are really harming yourself. You're giving the wicked seemingly more ammunition to continue to hate you and to hate you even more. So you harm him, yourself. Give yourself the King James Version said, give yourself a blot. Now, and verse 8, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. So here's the difference. The scoffer doesn't believe in God, and the more you try to convince him of God, the more he hates you, because you're coming against his belief system, or more properly, his disbelief system. But the wise individual, when you rebuke him, the wise person will love you and appreciate you. Now you think about the natural thing about rebuke causes us to draw up and to draw back. And nobody wants to be rebuked. Nobody wants to be chastised. But rebuke is part of spiritual discipline. It's part of a spiritual life. Same way it is with God. God rebukes us at times. And the scripture says if he didn't chasten us, he wouldn't consider us sons and daughters. He would consider us to be bastards. In other words, not his children or not his child. You're going to correct your child for sure. You may try to correct not yours. You may try to give a child that's not yours some guidance, but your child, you're definitely going to try to give guidance to. Your child, you're going to try to give instruction. Your child, you're going to try to put on the straight and narrow. And so when God rebukes us, it's because we have this relationship with him. We're sons and daughters, and he loves us, and he doesn't want us to be lost. He doesn't want us to be misused by the enemy. He doesn't want us being sifted like wheat by the devil. He doesn't want us to be the devil's doormat. He doesn't want us to be stuck on stupid. He doesn't want us to be a fool for the enemy, so he rebukes us. And the scripture says, you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. When God rebukes us, you know, we should love God more, because that shows us that God is looking out for us. That shows us that God is in our lives. That shows us that God is concerned and that God has been focusing on us. Remember when Satan tried to lie to God, the scripture said in the book of Job that the angels, the sons of God, they were gathered in a place. And here comes Satan. And God began to question him as he came amongst the crowd. And he asked him, where have you been? And Satan, you know, he tried to lie, would not come forward with the whole truth. And he told God, I've been around. I've just been going about to and fro, just minding my business. And then God asked him a question. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And when God asked Satan that question, Satan spilled the beans. And so Satan said, yes, I know Job. You have a hedge about him. If you remove the hedge, I will make him curse you to your face. But what did that show? That showed that Satan had been scoping out Job, showed that Satan had been around Job's house, been peeping, been looking for a way to sift him like wheat. But he wasn't going to tell God, I've been trying to get one of your servants. But as God began to mention the name Job, then Satan just spilt the bean. Yes, I know who Job is, but if you remove that hedge, I'll make him curse you. So we're in Proverbs, the 9th chapter, at the 8th verse. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. So the wise man appreciates rebuke. He appreciates correction when he is wrong. A wise individual doesn't get upset when you try to steer them right, because the wise man knows that if he's not on the right path, he needs to get on the right path. And if he's on the right path, he will be blessed. If he's on the wrong path, he will be cursed. And the wise individual will take correction from godly people who can sometimes see his error, see the error of his way. And a lot of times, this is where, you know, scripture said about the preacher that many are called, few are chosen. The preacher sometimes, yes, he's encouraging, but sometimes the preacher has to rebuke, because we as individuals can't see where we are, and we need this correction to get out of the pits and out of the mud from where we're standing, and to get our feet on solid ground so that we can get back in harmony and fellowship with God. So the wise man appreciates when others help him to get back into the fellowship, get back in fellowship with God. So give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Proverbs 9:9, teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So the wise man increases in wisdom, the just man increases in learning. And this is because these individuals understand who they are. They have a relationship with God, and they understand they don't know everything, and that they understand that God has put in place a system that will help man to be able to have eternal life, that God has put in a system that will help man to have the abundant life on earth, that God has put in a system that will help us to walk godly, to be able to please God. And when we get off track and get off the right path, that God has a way of directing us and nudging us back onto the right path so that we can please God. Proverbs 9 and 10 says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we begin to reverence God and begin to appreciate God, that's the beginning of wisdom, because that is total opposite of foolishness. Foolishness says there is no God. Foolishness says I don't have to believe God. Foolishness says there may be a God and there may not be a God. Foolishness says there is no God. And foolishness doesn't let us live. It doesn't allow us to have eternal life, because we are rejecting the giver of eternal life. We are rejecting the creator. And as it says in Romans, we become as these individuals who worship and serve the creature more than the creator. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Again, we have to study God's word, we share in God's word, and then we begin to become wise, we begin to understand those things which are holy, those things which God loves. And why do we have to study the things which are holy? The scripture said that God is holy. And God speaks to man in the scripture. And one of the things he tells man is to be ye holy, for I am holy. And so God wants us to be separated from the world. God wants us to be individuals who love him. God wants us to be individuals who have made up our minds that we are going to serve God. And when you make up your mind to do something, you can do it. You can do it. One of the things, you know, I think about myself, one of the things that I've started, I don't make New Year's resolutions. When it comes to, you know, New Year's resolutions, as a child, we make those things, have this long list of New Year's resolutions, and before you know it, you start breaking them in a few days. One of the things I decided to do, lose some weight. And what I have done, and I started January the 1st, I made up my mind. I said, I'm going to do like I did the last time. And that was stop eating desserts. So I haven't been eating. So yesterday I started it. No desserts, no cookies, no chocolate candy, no ice cream. Well, yesterday my body rebelled. My body yearned. My body was feeling sick. because I didn't eat what I had been eating. But today, it was a much easier journey today. And so that's the way it is with life and trying to walk godly and obey God's word. When you start off, yes, it's a struggle. But as you practice, as you practice, as you practice, you get better and better. As you practice, it becomes more, well, it becomes less of a strain. Yes, it's still a struggle, but it becomes less of a strain. It's like when you're with basketball, you're practicing basketball. Yes, you still have to run every day. Yes, you have to do all these exercises before you start playing the game or start practicing the game. You do these conditioning drills. And yes, they are a pain every day, but as you do them more and more each day, they become less of a strain. In other words, when you first started your running, you first started your conditioning, you were exhausted and mad from the beginning of the conditioning. And now as you've been doing it more, you don't get mad or frustrated now until the middle of the conditioning. And so it is with the things that we make up our minds to do for God. In the beginning, it's a strain, but the more we continue to walk with God, the more we continue to acknowledge God and to trust God, the less of a strain it becomes. And so what we struggle with in the beginning, we're more able to overcome this thing now, and we pick up new struggles along the way. And so we don't keep stumbling over the things that we stumbled over yesteryear and yestermonth, because we are growing in grace and growing in knowledge, and we are becoming conquerors. And some things in our lives we are conquering, and we are defeating these things, and we're moving on to other victories. So wisdom, when we become wise, we are setting ourselves up to be blessed by God. Again, we ask people, do you want to be blessed? Do you want a blessing? Everybody's, yes, yes, yes. But really, to be blessed of God, we put ourselves in position to be blessed. In other words, we begin to live a life so that we can have favor with God, so that we can approach God, so that we can freely come before the throne of grace, and we can petition God, and we can petition the Lord and ask for those things that we desire. We don't have to always, when we have a prayer request, ask somebody else to pray for us. We can start praying for ourselves. We can start believing for ourselves. And this is why God tells us not to even try to correct a scoffer, because there are some people who just don't get it, and there are some people who may never get it. And if they don't want to get it, they will not get it. And so, my brothers and my sisters, I want to encourage you, and this is, we're starting 2009, let's seek wisdom, the way of wisdom, avoid the way of folly, avoid the way of foolishness, and God will truly bless us. At this time, I'm going to open up everyone's mic and give you a chance to ask a question or make a comment or whatever you may want to do. Again, I apologize for the delay. I apologize for maybe the low volume on this mic. Again, I was set up early for everything. Everything was working. But as one man told me, technology is just like children. It shows out when company comes. So sometimes it's the way our children are. They are okay, and they know how to act until company comes, until they get around others. And it looks like this is what has happened tonight with this situation. But, however, we give the glory to God, and we continue to press on in spite of what is happening with technology. And I thank God again for each of you who are on the line tonight. Praise God. God bless you. Who do we have tonight? You want to introduce yourself?
This is Sister Brooks.
Sister Brooks, praise God, has her new phone. God bless you. Hadn't recognized the number yet. God bless you. All right. Open up. Sister Cooper, God bless you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Praise. Let me see here. Praise God. Is this you, Sister Sharon? Praise God. Sister Sharon, is this you? Praise God. Who we have here?
This is Sister Carlina.
Hi, Sister Carlina. God bless you. Thank you. We'll come back to you in just a minute.
Here, Sister Blanche. Can you hear me?
Sister Blanche, God bless you. How have you been doing?
So-so. I'm still just waiting on the manifestation of my healing. You know, I had a second heart surgery August the 20th, but God is good, and I'm just waiting for the manifestation of my healing.
All right. We'll continue to be praying for you. God bless you for tuning in tonight. All right, who do we have here? You want to introduce yourself? I guess not. God bless. Who do we have here? 338-6347. Okay, so maybe everybody's a little shy. I'm going to open up everybody's mic at this time. Again, let's continue. It's not going to work. All right, I'm going to have to shut some mics down, getting feedback. Let's continue to live for God. I also want to encourage you to meet us Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, and then 11 o'clock for morning worship. And let's get back to making God first in our lives and giving God the glory and becoming these wise individuals that the Lord would like for us to be. Praise God. And I'll try this one more time before we get ready to go. Anybody have a prayer request or anything?
Just keep praying for me, Elder. I got to go get another MRI in a week or two from now.
All right. We're going to keep praying for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's Okay, well, this will bring tonight's session to a close. I'm gonna get ready to pray, and we'll have benediction, and we'll see you next week, 7 o'clock here through this medium. Also, if you can't make it to church, send your offerings to the church. You can send them to my address, P.O. Box 309, Drummond, Tennessee 38023. It's P.O. Box 309, Drummond, Tennessee 38023. And the younger people, you may want to give via Cash App. We do have a Givelify account. Haven't used it yet. Don't even remember the name that's on it. But the Cash App, you can use Cash App, you know, the $ and Pastor W. Brooks. So if you want to use Cash App to give your tithes and give your offerings, we would appreciate that. You want to send it through Walmart, can't make it to church, we'll appreciate that. So continue to pray for one another and continue to pray for me. And let's be the witnesses and be examples in the kingdom of God as we seek to reach out to others. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity that you've given us tonight to come together to worship you and to fellowship with one another. Dear Lord, we pray tonight for those names that have been called out, for those who are on our prayer list. We pray that you would give healing. We pray that you would heal sick bodies. We pray that you would heal hurt. We pray that you would touch us right now from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Lord, we pray that you would help those who have suffered loss on this week, that you would come in and that you would fill the void in their lives and let them know and realize that you have not forsaken and you have not left us. Lord, we thank you for strength. We thank you for your people that are here on these lines tonight. We pray for those who are not here. We pray for God's people everywhere. Lift us up, give us strength, take us higher, give us healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. God bless everybody. Have a great night and see you next week, 7 o'clock. Bye-bye. How you doing? Colin.
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. How you doing? I hope y'all ain't heard
right.
I was driving.
Okay. Well, I had muted everybody because you do have more than three mics open to start getting a lot of feedback, so I just keep everybody muted until I speak to them.
Oh, okay.
But
I
didn't want anything. Just wanted to say hello.
Oh, okay.
Well, you have a blessed night.
Okay, I will. I was just leaving school, and then when I got on there the first time, it was just playing music. So I called back like three times, and then it finally let me through.
Okay. Well, that's
okay.
Like I said, we'll hopefully next week it'll be a whole lot smoother. Take care.
Okay, well, all right. Talk to you later.
Hey, William.
Good night.
Hey, William. Fred. Yes.
Hey, what happened to her? Wasn't it me?
Oh, she passed. She's been suffering with Alzheimer's. She's been suffering with Alzheimer's for years.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it had gotten so bad that Rosemary and them sold the house and in Detroit and had her staying with them in Illinois.
Okay. All right.
She died today, and then they're going to cremate her tomorrow.
Wow.
And have a memorial Friday, I believe.
Uh-huh.
How was your trip?
It was all right. It's pretty good. Not too bad.
Right.
I had all the good weather out there.
Yeah, I was jealous on that. Well, all right. We didn't get to see much of the band on TV. Somebody said they had more.
Yeah, there's
some
videos.
Yeah. The Channel 5 show, about 5 seconds and went to the commercial.
Uh-huh.
Well, but I guess it wasn't Channel 5, NBC rather.
Yeah, NBC, yeah. All right.
Well, okay. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Have a good night. Bye.
You too.